Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California, Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Very enthusiastic. Very good people. Thank you for not going to the Grammys. Thank you so much. I know a lot of you are nominated, and you just decided to check the results later. Yeah, I got my iHarmon back. Aaron made me a quickie for a shadow run tonight, because I didn't want to... We haven't figured out... I don't want to talk about that. We haven't figured out how to make these devices in our pockets usable on the level of a notepad yet. It still hasn't happened. I'm 42 fucking years old. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's still easier to have a piece of paper around your neck. It shouldn't be. Do you know, at the peak of the Palm Trio, I remember I was typing like a really fast with my thumbs, and then this iPhone thing happened, and it's wonderful. It's a great looking thing, and you can touch the screen and move it around. But if you added up all of the time that we spend like going back and correcting all the words, boy, Jeff, second life. Okay, all right. So did any extra black people come tonight? Well, we got okay.
What's your name, sir?
Brian.
Brian? Anybody else?
Yeah, we got one back here.
You better not be white. You better be genuinely black. That's only funny if you're black.
No, it's funny both ways.
No, it's not. It's not funny if he's white.
It's hilarious if he's white.
No, it's not. But imagine if Jim Belushi's doing that in the back. That's not funny. He's doing a black guy impression. It's funny if it's Tiny Lister Jr.
There's no middle ground between those? Or?
No, there's lots of middle grounds. Okay. It's also funny if it's just any black guy.
What is your name back there?
Max.
Max?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Max, were you in the military at some point with a yes, sir, or no? See, now it's way funnier if that guy's white.
It's starting to get okay if he's white, because it's a dimensionalized character, and it's not just an impression of a race. It's becoming a character, so it's becoming fine. He's becoming Tracy Ullman if he's white. Max, what do you do for a living?
Perform.
You perform? What sort of performances do you do, Max?
What sort of performances do you want me to do? Don't take that the wrong way, though.
I'll take it however I want to take it, Max.
Well, are you willing to come up on stage and feel it out with us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Welcome, Max, to the stage, everyone.
The show really got off right out of the gate like a rocket. All right, cross your fingers. This guy better be black as hell. Yeah! Black enough!
Max, hello.
Awesome. Hello, sir. How are you? Now, you can grab one of those and have a seat. Yeah. Microphone and a seat. Just as promised you, your people in the 1940s. So did you come because last week I pled for more black people?
No.
Okay. Do you have the blackest voice ever?
It's me and James Earl Jones. We every year we just kind of see who can go more bass. And I'm getting there. When I was 13, it was close, but now he's starting to lose it.
What's the? Can you sing bass? Can you sing a low note? I wish I could. I love like bass singers, like in harmony bands.
This is me. This is the,
get low. Get low. Get lower than that.
Okay. Okay. Hold on.
There's such a fine line between post-racial and pre-minstrel humor. Like, what do we? Like, what kind of? How would you like me to perform? Let's bring him up. How low is your voice? Oh, sweet chariot. Like, it's a hair's breadth. Like, what are we doing?
We're talking about a gentleman with a great basso profundo voice.
I'm not indicting us. I'm just pointing out. Like, boy, what a razor's edge we walk in the modern world, and how far you go to just find yourself back at fascination with each other.
I feel bad for Brian. Is it Brian, right? Yep. The first guy, he got supplanted by Max.
Well, because that was just good comedy. What was the first? It was just a voice from the back, like, yeah, I'm here. It was just good. I mean, Brian can come up too, but I don't want to feel like we're pitting people against each other.
Only one black person at a time.
Brian, just I can feel your presence though.
Yeah. Brian, do you also want to come up, or do you not want to be dehumanized like this?
Brian.
I could.
Brian, get your ass up here, Brian.
Okay. All right.
Hello, Brian.
All right. Man, I'm so excited. Just for that random, like, I wish that there was still television so someone could be flipping through channels and see me hanging out. All my white guilt is just like being sucked off the range through a super vacuum out into the stratosphere. I love it. All the heat from being a 42-year-old fat white oppressor. I just feel like now I just feel like I'm fucking on honest ground. What should we talk about? Randy Quaid?
Is he in the news?
I think he's doing something. But Brian, sorry, I didn't. I enough about me. What do you do for a living?
I work at a Jamba Juice.
Sounds like you're making it up a little
it's
bit.
Terrible.
Oh yeah, but not. I mean, and they're not watching or anything.
Oh no, yeah. Nobody at that Jamba Juice would ever watch a podcast. Like a podcast or listen to it or anything like that.
What's the worst thing about working at a Jamba Juice?
The people.
The coworkers or the customers?
Oh, the customers for sure.
What's
juice
wrong?
Isn't that important. It's not. There's a lot of things going on in the world. Juice is not the important thing.
Yeah, by the time you've already decided that you don't even need solid food, like you should be an easygoing person when you come
to. Yeah, the worst thing that happened to you is that your juice is 5 minutes late. You have a fucking great life.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So you're saying they're a little impatient and bossy.
Yeah, just generally assholes.
How old are you? Can I ask? You're young enough.
I'm 23.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, young enough to be able to ask. Ah, 23. Ah, pre-9/11. You haven't even been through 9/11 yet. Is that how age works? Oh, we all experience time at the same... Okay, all right. Sorry, I thought all of us had to turn 32 for 9/11 to happen.
Max, you said you're a performer. What do you do?
I'm an actor.
You're an actor?
Yes, sir.
Are you working on stuff?
I just relocated to Los Angeles 3 days ago, four days ago.
Welcome. Yeah.
From where?
From New York.
From New York? Yeah. Wow. Man, this is authentic black person. This isn't like the what, you know, one of your black friends. Who doesn't know any other black people? I bet you know a ton of black people, don't you?
Like
You probably went to school with a bunch of them. Acting, black acting school. No, okay. No. All right, I pushed it too far. I thought it was like, there was a show when I was a kid called Fame. It was about acting.
Yeah, I remember Fame. It was about LaGuardia, which is LaGuardia in New York City.
It was. That's not where you went, right?
But I know some black actors that went to LaGuardia.
Yeah. I think it was it Irene Cara? Was that the actress's name? There was a woman.
She sang the song.
In the title sequence, there was an actor who was one of the teachers who, I think first there was a movie. Yeah. With the song, I don't know if the movie was an adaptation of the song, but then the TV show, and then the credits for the TV show, the opening title sequence, there was just this woman saying, "You want fame? You want success? Well, right here is where you start paying in sweat." And it was just a show about talented high school kids.
In the movie, that's where Coco takes her shirt off and cries.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You want fame? Fame costs. Right now is where you start paying.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
When I was a kid, I was at MGM, which is now Sony lot, and I was on I think I was shooting something like Highway to Heaven or something, and me and my mom were walking down between the sound stages, and a golf cart goes by, and on the back of the golf cart, we're walking, and on the back of a golf cart going past us, on the back of it is, I forget the actor's name, but he played Leroy on Fame, who was a fucking great dancer. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you have cornrows?
Kind of, yeah, I think. And he waved at me like he knew me. He was like, oh, and he pointed at me and waved. And my mom's like, why is Leroy waving at you? I go, I think Leroy thinks he knows me. I felt so cool.
Max, you want a drink? You were looking.
I was eyeing it, but.
You got to help yourself, though. I don't want to dig in the ice with my hands for you.
No, I thank you.
So, Brian, are you from L.A.?
No, I'm from New Orleans originally, but I live in Oakland.
Live in Oakland?
Yeah, cool. I just came down to help a friend move and to see Harmontown.
Really?
Yeah.
You helped somebody move and you came to a different town to do it?
Yes.
You're a good person.
Yeah, good friend.
Yeah. I really like convenience also.
Brian, did you want a drink?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Harmon's become bartender. I love this.
We really do need like a...
Dan Harmon is making me a drink. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's like Billy the Kid cleaning your gun.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It's like Patrick Swayze packing your parachute. Yeah.
Teaching me how to dance.
It's like Santa Claus sitting on your lap.
There you go. And I group around the bullseye and then the professional improviser. By the way, we have Greg Proops here tonight. He'll be coming up. Inarguably a white man, but
although when you get Greg drunk, when Greg gets just drunk and high enough, he becomes a black jazz musician from 1933.
He's a very groovy yeah. white man.
Yeah, he becomes incredibly like a jazz musician. It's very good.
All right, so we got Max, the aspiring performer. So you're very young too. What are you, 20? Can I ask?
Yeah, 27.
Oh, okay. So you out here from New York, it sounds like he's doing a bit sometimes. You just came here from New York, so now, like, what is the plight of a young actor in L.A. in 2015? How does it work? Does it still look the same? You still got a pile of headshots in your back seat, and you just kind of...
It's all digital now. I don't know about...
Yeah,
know,
LinkedIn. Yeah. Yeah, now it's just, well, I mean, so is there, do you have an agent?
I have a manager.
Yeah. Is there like, does your manager say stuff like, you know, you gotta do that YouTube now?
He's a New Yorker, so he does
kind of talk like that. He has like an old New York Jewish kind of accent.
I touched my iPad. No, that's not a bit. I just touched my thing.
We were about to kick a freestyle. You're going to drop the beat, and we're going to.
That was unintentional. But if you'd like to, that can happen.
I'm not allowed to solicit that from you, but you are. If you don't have to say a word if you would like to do some freestyle rapping. That is fine by me. Yeah. Do you want to battle?
Oh.
Isn't that? I mean, that's what they call it. It's.
Yeah. See, Max seems pretty down with that. Ryan, are you up for that?
I'm more of a manager type.
Brian, it's like, I am literally up here because of the color of my skin. He said he wanted to rap, and they're going to rap.
Brian, I need you to go around and just collect money from people. We're going to accept bets.
Somebody give me a hat, please.
We need $5 a head, and...
I think there should be some stakes for the winner of this battle. I think there should be
All right. Well, I mean, I make it cash. He's right. Probably like right. I don't.
If you're throwing out money, then all right, I'll join.
All right, I got 20 here. Is that good? Or you?
I have a 22. So.
Okay. So $20. Bring your 20 over here, Herman. Give it to me.
All right.
Pass that down.
Brian, can you hand that?
All right, so the kitty is $40. We're going to do it democratically by applause by the end of this thing, but we're going to do a good old-fashioned rap battle.
I think in a rap battle, I think by applause is that's for correct me if I'm wrong, Max. The whole by applause thing, that's a white people Halloween party thing. In a real rap battle, you know who won. They don't need to.
I think it'll be obvious. We'll know who won when we know.
It's everyone goes like, oh, right, like it's like they, it hurts them.
Dan, I'm not trying to impugn your rapping ability. But do you think you have that in you right now to elicit that sort of reaction tonight?
I don't know. For me, it's like, it's not up to me, it's up to God. Right? Because I don't want to pull rank, but I feel like that's what comes through me when I work in any capacity.
And now, Brian, as soon as money got involved, you seem to like, you're into it now.
I'm very poor.
At $40, you're going to quit that Jamba Juice.
I'm out.
All right. So, is there any rules to like I don't know. I've never been in a three-person.
Dan, I'm going to sweeten it.
I was joking. I don't actually want to be a person.
I'm going to go one more.
Not a very good rapper.
I'm going to go one more 20, make it 60. It's three of you, 320. So, it's $50.
Oh, no.
If anyone else wants to make donations for this, for our rappers right here.
We'll be passing around a hat in a couple minutes.
Okay, so how does this work?
I don't know.
Are there ground rules on this? Like, what's the thing? I'll just throw a beat down, and you guys want to just take it?
Yeah, I guess. I have a problem. Sometimes, like, I don't hand it off soon enough, because sometimes the shit just flowing.
All right. I don't even know what I'm getting myself into right now, man.
Look, all right. It's gonna be terrible no matter what happens. The stakes are low. Let's just freestyle. Let's just feel it out. You guys just do your thing. I got some new beats today that I found from some of our donation Harmonian musicians.
Oh, yeah, if you know the name of the artist, give them some credit.
The opening song was by a cat named Lee Broderick called Loveless Street. I really like that song, so thank you, Lee. If you got more stuff, send it to us. It was very cool.
We don't have to call it a battle. We could call it a cooperative.
It's a fucking battle. This is a battle.
It's a cooperative rap effort.
Yeah.
No.
The Sugar Hill Gang didn't battle each other. They were a gang. They were.
There's no animosity, no enmity. This is just creative collaboration.
I think rap battling is along with liquor stores and
pawn shops
and laissez-faire gun legislation and horoscopes and scratch-off tickets. Are all part of the white man's
conspiracy?
Sounds like a lot of backpedaling from you, man.
I'm backpedaling on the white man's conspiracy. I feel bad that we ever initiated it. Yes.
Yeah.
I wish that we could take it back.
Okay. So yeah, during this rap battle,
don't use that word battle. Don't even put it in quotes.
No. It's
a powerful word.
This is a post-racial cooperative rap co-op.
But there will be one winner. Somebody will win. And
this is America. There has to be a winner.
The rap will go to.
Okay.
Like there's no, you know, they don't say on the winner is anymore.
No. You guys were all honored just to be up on stage doing it for certain. But one person will walk home with $60.
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, yes, that's true. But I don't think we have to call that person a better rapper than me.
I think we absolutely do. I think when the person who has the $60 can say of among these three rappers, I am the best.
Are you in on this rap battle? It's not a battle. It's
a rap like collaboration. Rap. I'm up here. I'm gonna be real bad at it. That's fun.
I feel like Brian's like he's gonna sneak
he's
in there
the sleeper.
And fucking do
he's
it.
The sleeper.
He's gonna come
I
in there.
Promise
and
you, I'm
now,
not.
I'm gonna keep you guys honest when we start this rap battle, just in case. So there's no hocus pocus or baloney. In case you guys had some prepared material.
I'm gonna
solicit a suggestion.
Oh, okay.
I'll keep it vague, something very broad, so you guys just can, as a starting point.
All right, Randy Quaid.
All right. I'm gonna play a couple beats here. Let's see which one we like to use here. What do we got? How about?
Yeah. Yo.
You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, streets to the wheat. Streets to the wheat.
All right.
Growing wheat in the streets.
You,
yeah,
sir, right
check,
here.
Check.
You, sir. Yeah, that was just warming up.
Streets.
You, sir.
Streets to the wheat.
What's something that you have as a pet peeve of yours? Something that bothers you? Something mundane,
streets
maybe?
Streets to the wheat.
Streets to the wheat. Streets to the wheat.
Whistling on the street on the bothers street. This gentleman. Whistling on the street. Street whistlers.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. MC Harmon coming to it. Yo, why you gotta walk down the sidewalk doing that high tone like it's bird talk? Why you whistling at me? I fucked your mama so hard she took a pee. I pulled your mama's pants down, said, oh, pussy's whistling. She's like a clown. Clowns don't whistle. They use seltzer bottles. I fucked your mama so hard, full throttle. Went down the street. Squeezed your mama's titty meat. Gave her a kiss because in the end, she's a good person.
Pass the mic, go. All right.
Keep it going. Keep the beat going, man.
The song's not long enough for all three to get through. So do you want to keep that beat? Who wants to go next?
Shit,
Max, you up?
You feel the fucking iron cooling.
He's standing up.
You like that beat? You want a new beat?
New beat. Same beat, new topic.
New topic? Let's see.
You just fucked somebody's mama in so many ways. And they weren't the one whistling. They were the mother of the person whistling.
What's something that's embarrassing?
Feelings.
Alright. Go, Max.
Yo. Feelings.
Yeah.
I got these feelings, man.
Yo.
This awkwardness. I'm on stage and I'm not the blackest kid, but still, I'm kind of in the middle, kind of trying to spit this rap shit. It's a riddle, it's a mystery, but it's nothing new to me. It's not a diss track, but I feel like giving kisses to Dan Harmon. Yo. Yo.
Yo. Yeah.
Harmon. Yo.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon with the... Yo. Feeling kind of homophobic though, cause it's distracting me with my flow, but still I gotta go. Your beard,
yo,
it's kind of weird. If you was a chick and you had a dick, I'd say, yeah, she's kind of thick, but I gotta get up in it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that was...
That took an unexpected turn, Max. The title of that one is truly Feelings.
That's right. That was like the Charlie Kaufman of freestyle, because he like used the medium, like the rap became a feeling. Yeah. All right,
Brian, the bar has been maybe raised. You want the same beat? You want to try a new beat? You like that one?
What? Your choice.
You can hear one. Let's see what else we got here. Let's
do
what about...
Oh, shit.
A little more smooth? Let's see when the beat comes in. I feel like this.
Cause you know that you love me.
Do you like this?
Or we got...
It really doesn't matter. Same result, no matter the beat.
There's that. Oh. There's this. Oh, shit.
I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Just go back to the first one.
Right? You like which one?
That's safer, the first one.
The very first one they did?
The very first
one. All right. So here we go. You good to go? Let's get him a suggestion.
Sure.
What about...
White Devil.
Pardon?
White Devil.
No, not White Devil. Unless you wanted... Do you want... how about just... Can we... How about just Juice? We'll give you Juice.
Yo. Look at my kitchen. Ain't got no juice. Look at my kitchen. What the fuck, you bitch? That's all I got. You got the lamest black guy up here on the spot. White as a dove. I fit inside you like a motherfucking glove. That's all I got.
All right. That was...
This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy.
Yeah.
All right, now, I mean...
That was a warm-up round.
Everybody, think in your heads right now, silently to yourselves, who you think probably won that one. But now I want to do... We're going to play another beat. You guys are just... I want this to battle off. You guys spitting it around.
We just hand it off, yeah.
We're like
a group of friends.
And the song is about what, sir?
Anything?
Yeah, anything at all. What's Netflix? It's about Netflix.
Yeah. Netflix. On demand.
Yeah.
If you want to see a movie, you're gonna see it. That's how Netflix sees it. It's their business model. Remember when I fucked your mama full throttle? Whoa. Oh, shit. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Oh. Syncopated arrhythmic rhythms. I fucked your mama so hard she had a schism between her legs. It's usually called a pussy. But I digress. Sorry about that.
Pass it. Pass the mic.
I'm gonna pass the mic to another person.
Yeah. Pass the mic to your man, Max. Watch the interview on the tracks. And got my shit, and I watch it over. I binge watch House of Cards, the Game of Thrones, and sometimes I don't leave my home. Got a couple cards of ice cream, Chinese food. My mom calls me up, I'm like, yo, I'm feeling rude, so I hang it up. And pass it up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's heating up here, you guys. It's heating up.
Yeah. Netflix called me masturbating. Netflix, whole shit, hating. Why are you asking me what I'm watching? Yeah, play the Netflix episode, bitch.
Yeah.
Take it home. Go home.
Yeah. Arrested Development is coming back. Episodes keep getting longer. It's like crack. You gotta smoke one at a time, but the serialized jokes, so you get it, they rhyme. You'll notice at the end.
Pass the mic.
I've gotta pass the mic to Max, one of the two blacks.
Damn.
Nice.
It sounds dehumanizing when you call someone a color, especially call them one of the color. Bit of a misstep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last name Harmon. I don't know what that shit means, but it's white. I won't say what rhymes with white, but still, you know what it's like to be on stage and get called, put on blast. Sometimes I watch Netflix for hours just trying to pick the show. I don't know what to do. I read all the titles and they all sound interesting, so.
Pass the mic. Bring it home, Brent.
Netflix, I don't know what to watch. Netflix, why am I touching my crotch? Netflix, what the fuck is going on? I can't even see her phone. Is this censored? Fuck you, Netflix.
All right.
All right.
All right. That was $60 worth of rapping.
I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like shit almost got too real there. We're in danger of crossing into dangerous reality.
We definitely made connections tonight, and I think made a good case for more black people coming to my shows.
I think we just fixed racism.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's surprising how little time it took. We've been working on it forever. It's like, let me out there. Let me take care of this. Is there any, since you guys were so gracious and put yourselves out there, is there anything, I mean... Usually we ask the professional people what they're plugging, but you guys are plugging your young lives.
If yeah, anybody out me. There is hiring people who don't have any experience writing television shows, please call me.
All right, you can go to Brian's Jamba Juice, or you
go to your nearest Jamba Juice and ask for me.
You can
the only black person that works at any Jamba Juice ever.
And Max, if there's a guy sitting in Seattle that goes, that's it, that's the new face of Chipotle.
You're correct, sir.
he can find you on LinkedIn or whatever.
All right, so now how do we decide this? Now this is the.
I think it's a tie between the two guys whose money it is. I mean, I'm not going to take my own money, but I clearly won. My shit was tight.
I'm going to say you came in a very close third, Dan. Very close third.
Yeah.
Beat out Eminem.
We don't need to decide between the two of them, right? We could just split the 60 among the two guys.
I made it even 80. How about 40 for both of them? Is that cool? Yeah, okay.
All right. All right. That buys a lot of Jamba Juice and a lot of, acting tutorials.
Yeah. Chipotle burritos.
Just goes to right. All right, well, thanks, Max. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
Keep coming back and bring friends. They can be white friends. It's working, Jeff. It's working.
This show brought to you by Jamba Juice.
I bet you thought it was absurd when I asked for... I just requested black people to come to the show. I mean, you thought I was silly. You thought I was racist. Racist like a fox. I'm bringing back... I'm pre-racial. That's my movement. Pre-racial.
So you live in a time before racism really kicked off?
Yeah, race is an artificial construct, but that's why it's so fascinating. Like, remember Jamal. Jamal's not here, is he? Jamal, you here? He would have spoke up. I wanted to talk to Jamal at the end of the show last time, because he was sort of the quintessential, like, post-racial kid. Like, he looked like he was about 12 years old. Very adorable. Very, very bored with my racial obsession, making fun of me. Like, kind of... Just like didn't need it, had no use for the consciousness of race. Like it would have been fun to have him come up every week and just check in with him, do a post-racial update. And he would just say, I had a sandwich today. What kind? All right, well, that was a strange detour, but that's what Harmontown's about. It's about magic.
Oh, I think we've proven that.
If our next guest had anything to say about it, he'd probably say the show is about waiting a long time for weird raps to happen. Let's bring out Greg Proops. Yow, 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 yow. Greg Proops. Yow.
Yeah. I'm a Beamer, smoking whack. Just watching Netflix, it's the orange to the black.
Yeah.
But I can't watch Yahoo with impunity, because that's the place that they got community. I had time to think of that. You could have. That's made, all I fucking came up with.
You could have made yourself 40 cool dollars, man.
I know, man. And then I could have quit my job and shit.
How are you, Prippy?
Oh, you want some ice?
I'm good, yeah, dude, thank you.
Greg, I like that you came out and brought a brand new bottle of vodka.
I was asked by two people backstage if I might do so, and I acquiesced to both of them, one after the next. The first guy went, when you go out there, will you bring a bottle of vodka? I'm like, yeah. 2 seconds later, another guy went, will you bring a bottle? I'm like, how many people want me to bring vodka? The answer is yes to all of you. I rarely get asked a question that I'm so enthusiastic about answering yes to.
Because the Smartest Man in the World podcast is known more colloquially as a vodcast, because it's fueled by vodka, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, in fact, fueled by vodka, much as jets are fueled by whatever jets are fueled by. My show is fueled by vodka, or fueled, if you wish to pronounce all the letters in a word. I don't.
It's jet fuel.
Jet fuel. Yeah. Jet fuel, of course. That's what jets use to go from one place to another. Like rocket fuel for rockets. And
speaking of rocket fuel, so, all right.
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Jeff.
Good to see you.
So, you have a podcast called Smartest Man in the World. You're more erudite than I am. You're a learned man. You're a smart man.
I wouldn't
man.
Say that, no.
You're coming out with a book, the smartest book in the world.
Yes.
You're a smart person.
It's all a joke, by the way. Everyone's so serious right now.
Greg?
They heard
Greg?
The word erudite and everyone fucking panicked and shit. If this was a radio, they'd be hitting seek really hard right now.
Greg, what's your book about?
About 300 pages. Thank you for asking. Jeff Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Oh, no, it's the bounce pass all the way. I don't even look behind me. You know what I mean? I know what's coming.
Have either of you guys, post 30, like well into the era of everyone's got a phone in their camera, like don't think about when you were 17 or anything.
Right, okay.
Have either of you, since the advent of the phone camera, taken a shit so big that even though you knew you were never going to show it to anybody, it was so big that you took a picture of your own shit just because you were about to flush it? And you knew, I mean, I can't stress enough, like, I suppose you've guessed by now this happened to me recently. I will never show it to anybody because it's gross. But no, I would never want to look at a picture of anyone else's shit. You know, there's websites where people post like pictures of shit and stuff. But
I wasn't aware of that. I'm often looking at the Rainbow Bright website, so I'm a little prissy.
Either of you guys ever? You never.
I've never been moved to actually reach for the phone. There have been times when I've astonished myself, but I didn't know that it needed to be recorded.
Well, see, don't mistake me for saying like, oh, anytime you take a big shit, you should always. I'm saying like that's the thing about it is like, as my picture snapped, I was like, I'm not going to show this picture to anybody. I'm taking this picture because that's how big the shit is, and I'm 42 and I take huge shits all the time. All the time. And then I thought I'm not going to share the picture with anybody. The picture's for me. But also, I just want to tell people I took the biggest shit of my life. I'm 42. I took the biggest shit. Thanks, guys.
But, like, so, Greg, you were in Paris recently, right?
Last year. No, I've never been tempted, but I can understand the impulse. For me, it's like I'm in airports all the time, and there's always guys on the commode, as it were, having long conversations with their loved ones while they're doing the thing. And to me, that's gross. There's a time and a place for everything, and a conversation doesn't take place while you're eliminating. I've never wanted to take a picture of my wand, and I've never wanted to take a picture of any excrement. But that's me. I'm a sissy. I mean, you're a bold Viking who fucking forges forward and breaks through post-racial barriers and gets people from Jamba Juice on stage and gives them money. So I can understand why your eliminatory system might be a matter of some pride.
Yeah, I didn't feel brave. I felt cowardly as I was taking the picture. Like I felt like the chimpanzees in the beginning of 2001.
Right.
Like I'm scared of this giant
thing. What's
the thing?
Giant black thing that came out of
there? Yeah. If those things had cameras, they would have those australopithecine.
Yeah, they would have.
They would have snapped a pic of the monolith. All right. Anyways, it took a huge shit. I mean, it was a hockey stick. Okay.
But was it in the shape? If it had been in the shape of a monolith, then I might consider it. If it had come out as a perfect rectangle, I might think, this is just, you know what? This isn't history anymore. This is science.
Yeah.
Because we've gone in Neil deGrasse Tyson territory here, and that the odds of taking a rectangular shit are 1 in 1 billion, and yet Dan Harmon achieved it 4 times last week after visiting the Fatburger on Santa Monica.
And I don't even know what I did, and I didn't experience anything untoward on the toilet. It was like a normal experience.
Smooth sailing, yeah.
I was just sitting there thinking about Xanadu or whatever, and right. I just got off and I looked down and I was like, this remarkable, amazing. Okay, we don't have to talk about it. It's a conversation that goes nowhere. I only wanted to talk about the relationship. Did you ever see the South Park episode with the guy where the dad takes the giant shit? And they do a whole episode. I mean, that's like it is. There is something about it's an exploration of a thing that's always going on. That of course no one wants to you don't want to talk to other people about your shit. Some people still tell each other about their dreams. You know who you are. Like even that's not so great. So of course talking about your shit like in the minutia, like it's like, oh gross. I don't like that when people go like, oh, it was like a pebble but it had a stick on the end, and I was like, I don't care. I don't want to picture your shit. But at the same time, I think there's something interesting about the fact that you know we do so few things every day, and there's so few of those things that we do every day that we never really talk about, and we really have a relationship with, and it was the biggest shit of my life. I've only been married once, and I've only taken this big a shit once. I haven't had a baby yet, but I mean, it seemed like I did when I. All right, that's it. It was a special shit, and I didn't
call 911 or anything.
No, I took a picture and I just went upstairs.
Hey, Greg, thanks for coming. Greg Proops, everybody.
To the H and to the A and to the...
All right. Well, okay, so that's the gross segment of the show. I had another thing about... I always wondered about... you know when you... The recycle bin, if you blow your nose and then...
Right. Is it still recycling?
Is it...
Or is it garbage now?
Well, yeah. Are you supposed to put it in there? And
right,
then I always picture like a shoebox made out of recycled materials. And it was like, are my boogers somehow a part of the box?
Right. Or is like the last part of the coleslaw in the cardboard thing still recycling, or is it garbage? Because it's got the organic matter.
Yeah.
You recycle tissues?
Well... You're supposed to.
He takes pictures of his shit, Jeff. There's really unlimited possibilities as to what he recycles at this point.
You're supposed to throw out your discarded paper products, blow your nose and throw that in the recycle bin.
Well, I mean, it's not like the. I mean, that. Well, this is a question. I mean, I always hover over the two things because I'm like, well,
I'll answer it. I'll go garbage on that because people have to pick through the recycling, and they certainly don't want to feel your. Excretions.
There's a human being. There's like a Jawa that goes through every. They don't just put it in like a puddle.
For
of
someone
bleach
who just had two black people up here, your understanding of what the underclass has to do is rather limited, I would think, in this regard, Dan. Yes, people have to go through every manner of
The recycling bin gets dumped out. Well, take me through from the blue bin goes into the truck, and then they take that one.
Two Austrian men, one's named Franz, the other I don't know his name, take it to an area outside of Pomona, California, where it's dumped into a giant refuse pile, much like the volcano in Mordor. And on the sides of this, it's much like that movie from several years ago, the one with all the Indian children that won the Oscar for being the one that's
Slumdog Millionaire.
Right. Yeah. Slumdog Millionaire. You know, where it made people feel awful and therefore good. Because it was in color and there was dancing and whatnot. And so all the excreta, effluvium, errata, and jetsam that the world perpetrates, someone has to go through each piece of it to see if there's any value to it. And then they either put it in a bag and take it to a community where they sell it, or it goes into a big giant furnace that's marked Big Devil. And that's how recycling works.
But you're talking about, I mean, we have a de facto lair in there where the...
I am, of course, bullshitting at all times, but I would appreciate it if you'd maintain your respectful silence.
Because there are homeless people that go through, and they go through the bins, and then they go like, oh, they're...
I prefer the term indigenous street people, but yes.
And they grab the stuff.
Homeless infers that everyone gets a home, which is, as I think our friend who works at Jamba Juice will attest, when you're a wage slave, no home is given to you. The idea of home and homeless is a fairly, I think George Carlin worked that point over pretty pedantically.
Don't you think, like, I still honestly, like, all the shit that goes in the paper bin, like, I don't picture one human being going, like, ah, this paper's got chocolate on it.
It's a crew of people,
I don't know the ruling on this, but you can't blow your nose and recycle that. That just seems...
Thank you. At the very least, it's impolite.
Well, does that? But then, you have put your cardboard pizza box in there, right? It's got cheese all over it.
Yeah, but think about it.
You put things that are recyclable, and they're like the things that's like recycle this plastic, recycle the things, a little symbol on it, like things. And ideally, you clean them first. You rinse them off, and you put those in the recycle bin. You don't just put anything that conceivably could be recycled in the recycle bin.
Well, you know, I'm sure I'm not the person to be letting you in on this, but we have gone recycle crazy to the point where there is often no actual refuse container in, like, offices and stuff. There's, like, in the writer's bungalow at work, there is no non-recycling. There's, like, four giant cardboard boxes that all have the recycling symbol on it.
Is one for, like, compost or something like that? Because, like,
there's just four big giant fucking boxes that all have that symbol on it. I don't want to be a libertarian here, but is the dirty little secret that the shit just goes into a fucking pile with everything else? Is because the stuff that we're putting in these boxes, it's like, oh yeah, this is where the plastic and the paper and the cardboard.
Yeah, but it's
and,
to make people feel better about themselves.
Right.
It's an exercise. It's a charade, like a lot of stuff we do. Like security at the airport and shit like that.
And most of our waste is like,
oh, well, let's do this, and then we'll pretend that it's really happening, and white people are happy, and everyone goes home. And
but you're saying there's still some guy picking through it. That's not just a guy going.
Absolutely. Ever drive down the streets of LA and see people digging in the garbage cans and pulling out Burger King wrappers and shit like that? I guarantee you, no matter what's happening. I don't want to bring it down to a bummer level where all your nice lower middle class fans are bummed out.
We're talking about two different things, though. You're talking about people.
They're like, fuck, I don't even have health care. I'm two paychecks away from going through a Burger King fucking wrapper.
You're talking about.
That's how they talk to themselves. Everyone's internal monologue in this room is kind of like this.
You're talking about.
I'm from Daytona. I don't know why everything's like this.
I understand that there's people that go through the garbage cans that then take stuff to the recycling center. I understand there's people that go through my garbage.
Sure.
that are like scavengers from Sector 7. I get that. I admire those people. It's amazing that they're like bothering to find the honest labor, the quote unquote honest labor that's afforded to their situation. Like it blows my mind. Spencer only gives those people money. He doesn't give panhandlers money. He pulls over and randomly runs up to those people and gives them money because they're like, it's like, yeah, you want to encourage the ones that are doing it, whatever, I don't know.
Wow. He labors under the false notion that this world is a meritocracy.
Yeah,
in some
right.
way,
like,
that can be enforced even at the lowest level.
But I'm talking about at the place. Like, I don't know where the stuff goes. I know where the...
Yeah,
there are
people, like, I've watched, like, you know, there's a modern Marvels and things like that, where there's a guy or a gal at a conveyor belt, and they're looking through, like, this we need, that goes along the thing. Like, there are sorters at the end.
So they're just pulling
There's
stuff.
Also a giant plastic island in the South Pacific that bobs up and down.
Yeah.
It's a couple of kilometers wide, and...
We should be able to start building on that pretty soon, right?
Dan, I've talked about it on another show, but I want to talk about it on this show. We need to do Harmontown from the garbage island. It's out in the South Pacific. I don't know how we get there. I think you fly. There's no birds or fish anymore. But at a certain point in the South Pacific, when you get out there, there's a giant bunch of birds and fish because the garbage is there. And you're like,
it's an ecosystem. There's,
right.
Yeah, there's all kinds of.
And it's
you
just,
probably
it's
can't walk on it though, right?
It's not. No, sure you could. It's nothing but six-pack plastic things and containers and styrofoam and whatnot and your old tissues Jamba Juice cups that people threw away in L.A. that got caught in a tsunami tide and shot across the fucking Pacific and stuff. And I think it's going to be solid.
solid enough in another 6 months or so that we can do a fucking benefit for it.
What if that ends up being like the new world? What if, yeah,
right,
what if
that like Hawaii is like was where... 3 million years ago or whatever, or Iceland. Now yeah. Garbage Island is the new paradigm. And we all...
It's like where all the intelligentsia live.
Oh, yeah.
They form a perfect government.
Right. I'm going to move there like Arthur Clarke moved to Ceylon, and I'm going to write my next novel there. And by that time, there'll be mammals and monkeys and whatnot living on the Garbage Island as well, and fauna. And flora, and there'll be palm trees growing out of nowhere and whatnot. Nature finds a way. If we've learned nothing, we've learned that Jeff Goldblum's absolutely right in the movie Jurassic Park.
Nature does find a
There's bit. So many movies he's right in, and Independence Day is one, but the other one is Jurassic Park. If you can get an Apple Mac to interface with an alien craft like he does in Independence Day, that is some feat of technology.
Was he right in Powder, Greg?
In Powder?
In Powder, was
oh,
he right?
Oh, fuck. Jeff, when is Jeff Goldblum wrong?
He's right.
He's right.
The Fly.
Whoa. I hear a grown man, but inside a frightened girl.
Wait, but they're right. He was wrong on The Fly. He no. fucking. He,
oh, in The Fly, he was wrong. But you know what he was right about? He married Gina Davis while he made that movie, so he was right about that.
Well, okay, but the thing about The Fly is it's a tragedy. It's like Macbeth. So Macbeth was right about killing the king, making him king.
Well, he made a deal with the devil, didn't he? Though, I mean, and there's the rub.
Right, but I'm saying that Goldblum is always at his best when he's right about something. In a tragic movie like that, a sci-fi yeah. horror movie that ends with him getting his sorry kids, getting his brains blown out. He's right the whole time. He's even right. He even goes, now it's time to blow my brains
out.
Right.
But he has a conscience in that one and all that jazz. Yeah. He often does though. He's
like a gold bloom. You know what I mean? All right, so I think that...
Well, he's married now, so all the women in the room are safe for the moment. If he was roaming around L.A. like he used to...
He almost hurdled me. Like
I'm, oh, yeah.
He's my height or taller.
Oh, maybe. No, he's quite tall, yeah.
And I was at a thing, and I was on a date with some girl. Like, it wasn't like a hot date. It was just a girl I knew. We went to go see him play at the Argyle right. Hotel, which is now called the... The sunset, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But we went and saw him, and I was in the men's room, and there was a men's room attendant, and so I was washing my hands, and there's Jeff Goldblum, and the men's room attendant, his sign says, "Thank you, my name is Jeff." So I'm washing my hands next to Jeff Goldblum, and there's a guy named Jeff, and I said, "Wow, my name's Jeff too." I said, "You know, meteor hits this bathroom. That's that takes care of a lot of the Jeff's in this building." And Goldblum looks at me and goes, "Yeah." So we walk outside, and I'm with some gal, and she's good looking, kind of, and I introduce him to her because now we've had that moment, and I introduce her. This is another Jeff, and he talks to this gal and never ever ever takes his eyes off of her tits.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
And then later, like he if he could have walked through me. Like with the Adams could have aligned, yeah, he could have actually passed through me, because that would have been faster.
Like quantum leap or something.
Yes. If he could have just completely osmotically.
Dean Stockwell, your ass. And just,
I love
it's can, now 5 minutes from now, and I just walked through you.
You can get creepy to the point where you transcend physics.
It's true, though. It's true. I've seen him. If we took an informal poll of every woman in this room, he's hit on every woman, I think, on Earth.
Yeah. For sure, there is. There's 150 people in this room, maybe? Or am I flattering myself? Let's assume that
that
half of them are not women because it's Harmontown. It's like we're like,
well, maybe.
You're right. I'm just beating your observation dead. The number of women that I have talked to that have a Jeff Goldblum story that specifically about his sort of, I don't want to use hot button language like predatory or anything.
No, he's not predatory. I've done a couple gigs with him. I used to have him on my chat show a couple times, and he was absolutely charming and really lovable. And fucking just like was ceaseless.
Yeah.
But you know that old saying, when you're a teenager guy say to you, if you hit on every girl, like eventually one will
come. You can't hit if you don't swing, man.
Right. He's the only person next to Bill Clinton who's actually observed that philosophy. You know what I mean? Like most guys don't hit on every single girl they meet. But Jeff Goldblum and Bill Clinton, I think, are like, "Hey, how's it going?" And then every woman goes, "No," and pushes them away, and they're like, "Fine, I'm on to the next one."
But he also has
thing. It's
He has that really like animal like sexual drive where when he sees a woman, it's like laser beam lock, like target lock on
them. Yeah, like the Predator. Oh, see, just yeah. heat. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Ping, ping, ping. You are one ugly bastard.
Look, blender of Predator references there. The Predator was hunting the person, but then he was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I changed characters in the middle of... my scenes have a lot of jump cuts in them. It's not complex as much as it is perplexing.
I got nearly... I think you could call it a cross check, a hip check. I'm not sure what the correct hockey term is. Bruce Willis went through me. Like he actually dozed me over to get to a girl. Like,
wow.
Like, and then I saw him. He saw a girl. And this is like my first girlfriend like that I was ever in love with. And I was like early 20s. And she looked enough like Demi Moore for me to get it. She certainly was in his zone. And he came out of the men's room at this club in Hollywood and saw her from across the way. And there was various sofas and human beings and like Mario obstacles, you know, like things for him to like pipes. There was various Donkey Kong barrels rolling at him, but he had to get through. And he saw her from across the room at about, let's call it like, you know, let's say 30 feet, 40 feet, and looked and saw, like RoboCop, saw the lay of the land, like sofa, 1.5 meters high, like charting a course.
She was 4 meters high?
The sofa was, like the sofa was 1.4 meters. And so he looked around and thought, if it'll take so long to walk around like a human, like a person would through the thoroughfares of traffic that a person might walk to get from one point to another in a bar, he just started jumping over and climbing over, like stepping on people's coats.
Wow.
Just
he was that desperate to get to her.
Beeline. And then he went, kaboom, right into me. And I didn't, like, I kind of saw him coming. I saw him coming. I saw this all happening. And I turned to my girlfriend. And the next thing I know, I see him, and he's right on me, and just goes, it just knocks me, like, not all the way to the ground, but nearly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was this Hudson Hawk era, or Pulp Fiction?
It's after Hudson Hawk.
Oh, he was, like, racing. He was like, my hair's falling out.
Yeah.
He didn't know how sexy he was going to get when it finished falling out. He was still airbrushing it on his head for $40 million.
This is Die Hard era.
That's what it is. Like,
first three.
After Pulp Fiction, he's probably like, hey, come over here.
It's just this, you know.
But Hudson Hawk, yeah, he's like vaulting, like bringing her two Seagrams. All right. They don't even know. They don't even remember.
I've had a few guys do it. It's pretty desperate.
Yeah.
I've had one or two. I can't say their names. I've had one or two guys just, you know, basically knock you down because there was something...
I got run over by Nicolas Cage one time, but in New Orleans. But he came absolutely careening out of an elevator in New Orleans, and it wasn't because he was trying to get anywhere. He just came out and was like, "Rah!" and I was a guy waiting in an elevator. He was like, "It's like, oh, sorry, man."
So many floors in this building. I've been to every one.
I don't begrudge him for that. I mean, we all wanted what he was having that night.
That's so... I love that. I've never... Yeah, I'd love to be near it. My friend Tom Kenny told me that he was at Johnny Ramone's funeral and over at Hollywood Forever. And Nicolas Cage was very good friends with Johnny Ramone. And he goes, he wore a Matrix outfit, a long black coat and shades. And he goes, everybody got up and spoke. And then Nicolas Cage went, Johnny... If you're up there, I know you can hear us. And if fucking awesome! I want Nicolas Cage at my funeral.
Yes, you do.
I don't even care if I can't see it. I want him to be there and go, Greg. It's fucking yes. Rocking good news. So fantastic.
That would be great if you could just request that and
yes.
just blow people's minds.
I don't even know him. I want Nick Cage to do the eulogy so he can go, Greg! You know.
He could probably charge for that the same way that they sell like the cryogenic freezing companies. Like those are all scams. It's like, well, who's gonna sue you? You know, your head's in a bucket. But so Nick Cage could make you. He could go, yo, $1 million. I'll do your eulogy. Yeah. I'll wait, do it right.
He has to wear.
Wait a second, Dan. Dan, I've known you for a long time. I didn't know you did a great Nicolas Cage.
No. Now it's all of a sudden this like Face Off and shit. You're John Travolta in Face Off, man.
I don't.
It's really good.
It's just
it's quite good.
It's just you do the Gary Busey overbite, and then you raise it an octave.
Yeah.
So Gary Busey. Well, Nicolas Cage.
I think. Yeah. Like I kind of do it by like thinking because it's like this is Don Knotts. Oh, I'm John Knotts! But then this is Bill Clinton. Oh, Bill Clinton!
Lethal weapon. What is a lethal weapon?
Andy, I'm John Knotts! I'm Bill Clinton. I'm John Knotts!
I'm Bill Clinton.
Yeah. And then there's a third one that fits that same category. Who's the... Who's the third?
Jimmy
Is it Jimmy Stewart?
Well, Jimmy Stewart's one of the.
Jimmy Stewart.
Dan Harmon.
I'm John Knotts. I'm Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well, when Jimmy Stewart raises his voice, he does the weird octave thing. Like in I was watching him. What's the Christmas picture where?
It's a Wonderful World.
Yes, and not as good as I remembered it, frankly. A little more, not a torpid.
I still haven't seen it all the way through.
It's sweaty. It's a sweaty fucking Christmas movie.
Everybody would rather live in Bedford Falls because it's way more fun.
Well, right? Bedford Falls has bars that are open all night and like places to dance and shit.
Yeah, people talk jive and stuff.
Yeah, right. In the regular Bedford Falls, but in that one, he's like, well, it comes up pretty handy down here, bud. Like, you lose his shit and it goes right to the top.
Did I tell you... you weren't there, Greg. I was with Drew.
Did you get knocked over by Jimmy Stewart in a
bar? No. No.
I'm there. No, listen. I'm there with Katharine Hepburn, okay? Ginger Rogers is on the dance floor. Jimmy Stewart comes out of the elevator, and I don't know what the fuck Jimmy Stewart's on. I'm fucked to the tits.
I'm ripped. Who's that piece of ass over there?
Remember when Drew Carey and I were dating?
Absolutely.
Drew was single for a while. He would call me up and say, let's go to Vegas. So we would go to Vegas. And we went to go see John Fogerty from CCR, of course.
Yes.
And he played at the Hard Rock at the old joint. And he had front row center seats to it. And Drew's gambling out in the high stakes blackjack joint, you know, of course winning because he's rich and he can't lose. And Gary Busey is there. And he's... with a very lovely gal, and I don't know that it's a prostitute. I just have my feelings about her.
She's my sponsor.
So we meet a bit, Drew's like, hey man, the show's starting, so like I got to finish out this hand. I'm doing really well. So if you want to go, like there's an opening banner right now. Here.
By the way, this is a dead accurate Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Jeff does the best Drew Carey. I can't do him as well. Yeah.
So like, he goes, here's the tickets. I'll be there in a bit. So we get there. I don't know.
Where should you guys go? Don't dance real funny.
I don't know where the seats are, so I walk into the thing and it's because it's John Fogerty. It's not people standing up. It's chairs.
Yeah, it's silver ponytails.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of silver ponytails. I look for the thing, and of course, it's because it's Drew, it is the dead center seat.
Yeah.
There are 15 seats.
Right. Muhammad Ali's in the corner. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're there. So I'm by myself, and so I just sit down, and there's 8 seats flanking me, empty. So I look like the weirdest guy in the world. I think, oh, wow, this guy bought 12 seats for himself. So I'm sitting there, and finally Drew comes, and our friends all show up. And
it's like you're a homicide detective who never solved the case of the guy who kept murdering women and playing a John Fogerty song over the phone every time he did it. So
when he plays Born on the Bayou, I'm going to scan this crowd pretty fucking hard tonight. So, that's a song that they did.
So fucking John Fogerty sounds amazing. He can't. Right. He still sounds like it's 40 years ago. He's brilliant. And he's laying it down. And then Drew comes and all of our friends are there. And I'm like, thank you for coming. It was very strange. But I kind of like, it was kind of fun to be like the weirdest, like high roller guy that didn't buy the tickets. Drew Carey did. Then I keep getting flicked in the back of the head, and it's Busey. He's row three. And everyone is seated because, like, it's people watching a show, and it's not like, you know, the Nine Inch Nails is not on stage. It's you know, he's like, put me in, coach. You know, like no one's going to be standing up there. So he keeps flicking me and Drew in the back of the head. Hey, guys, who, hey, flick. Like, it's like painful flicks in the back of the head like you're in the junior high school. And we're like fucking Gary Busey keeps flicking me in the head. And he's standing up. Yeah! Yeah! The whole show. And at one point, Fogarty looks at him and goes, Gary, I see you. Sit down.
Did he really? Imagine how many shows he's been to, and John Fogerty's like, really?
John Fogerty's like, come on, man. Like, there's people who are trying to enjoy this shit.
So imagine having success at that level where Gary Busey is your Adam Goldberg. Like, you have the regular crazy guy that comes to the show that sometimes you gotta go, hey, take it easy. And it's Gary Busey.
That's fantastic. You know, Gary Busey was in Leon Russell's band. He was the drummer for years, and his name was Teddy Jack Eddy. He went by Teddy Jack Eddy, and when he did Buddy Holly, he played and sang all the fucking songs in the movie with that band. Yeah. Gary Busey is not only is he, amazingly, incandescently weird, to put it gently, he actually has a rock and roll background, which makes it even more frightening.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, that's a perfect segue to let's bring out Spencer, first of all.
Spencer Crittenden.
To the Spence, to the Sir, to the Spence, Spencer. Hey, baby. We're the kings of rock. We'll take you higher. Isn't that what it reminds you? Sucker MCs must call me sire.
So I wanted to address Randy Quaid a little bit.
Yeah.
You're the only one I know that I actually like went through this video with.
Oh boy. I was at my friend's house the other day, and I was like, "Has anyone seen that Randy Quaid video?" And they didn't understand. Like, and so I was like, no, you have to see this. And then no one put it on immediately, so I was like, no, you have to see this. And every 15 minutes, I was like, seriously, you fucking guys, you have to watch this video. It's the most important thing in the world right now.
I am aware of it because I saw it on the web today, but I didn't watch it yet. However, watch a Dennis Quaid video where he was quite calm.
That's what I keep thinking about is Dennis Quaid just waking up in the morning. Yeah. Like the morning when I get up because there's a call time. It's like 6:30 a.m. Schraub texts me. Randy Quaid, he sent me a link to the YouTube video and said he does he quotes Independence Day at the end of the video. Watch the whole thing. Because he goes, I'm back! Well, he's thinking. Which is a thing for. It sent me down this rabbit hole. I'm like, what happened with Randy Quaid? Because everyone just keeps brushing it into this pile. I'm very, very phobic about dismissing crazy behavior. For obvious reasons. Like, I don't want to be, a couple moves from that, on that chessboard from. If we're going to start, depending on where we draw the line, I don't know how you play chess.
Rook to Harmon 4, mate in 2.
So like I always whenever somebody like has a meltdown in the press or like, oh, that crazy person, right. Whether it's the Coney 2012 guy or Charlie Sheen or Randy Quaid or me sometimes, whatever they I always like go like well, what's the real story here? What's going on? Because the last thing I want to do is be a part of a gang of any kind. If it's easy to say what a nut bar, I'm always compelled to like go.
What is he doing in this video?
Oh yeah, God. Well, you don't even know the headline of it.
I just saw that he made this, and the wife's there too, I presume.
Yeah, the wife is there, and she's in a bikini top. And she's
hanging
out in the background, and then
it gets worse.
She's kind of glaring at the camera through aviator shades while he explains, as he has before, that Rupert Murdoch has it in for him, and that he has never been. That he's been fucked over by this like kind of larger system, which we can talk about in a second exactly what his theory is and why he has it, but he has this this you know, he feels he's been persecuted. I went down the rabbit hole of going through the timeline of everything that's happened to him. Started in 2007, cut to, I don't have time to explain all of it, but cut to he's got no U.S. passport, and he's basically sitting in one room in Canada waiting to get either, I guess, put in jail in Canada or sent, I don't know where.
He doesn't have a U.S. passport?
Hillary Clinton took his passport away. I don't think personally.
Wait, whoa.
Hillary Clinton
took
his passport away.
That's pretty specific, man. Because, you know, John Kerry called me the other week and he wanted to take my passport away. But I...
No, don't give it to him.
Exactly.
It's a trick.
I don't want to end up in Ontario in a fucking room with my wife,
so
who's never worn a bikini top in a video that I can remember.
So he does a small rant, says like, "Hi, I'm Randy Quaid. I made 20th Century Fox $1 billion when I saved the world in Independence Day. Rupert Murdoch, in return, what's happened?" And he just kind of recounts like...
He gets mad that Rupert Murdoch didn't thank him for saving the world in Independence Day at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of... That's,
and does, you're worried I about just, calling him a nut bar.
Yeah.
I
understand.
What I'm worried about is...
It's not fun to pile on.
I'm worried about calling him a drug addict, because I think that everyone keeps going like, oh, crystal meth, crystal meth, crystal meth.
Let he who is without drugs cast the first. You know, only users lose drugs. That's all.
I feel like when I have a nervous breakdown, you will part.
Is that going to happen tonight?
It may have happened Wednesday. You don't know, but part and parcel of my breakdown will be an increased use of whatever substances make me feel
better. Oh, no question.
And so I always wonder when people,
for me, it's Tang.
Have these brush ups with the press and contemporary society, and it's like, he's on drugs.
Web,
he's on drugs.
It's so immediate.
And I'm like, is the drug the causal agent? Because he's not. Everyone says he's the sweetest guy in the world.
Yeah,
he's been married to his wife Evie since the 90s. They've always had a very passionate,
and he's not a terrible actor, he's quite a good actor, actually.
Fabulously talented, and a great character actor, and his marriage to, you can't Yoko she's not the cause of any problems either. Like, they've had a passionate partnership since the 90s. She didn't come in and start causing problems in his life. In 2007, shit just switched like a light. Like, stuff started going weird. Yeah. Now, usually when you lose your mind, statistically, you're in your early 20s. Some people could, but if you're in a marriage and it's a biochemical thing, you don't go crazy together. That's and he is not methed out. He is not. He's not. He's chubby and ruddy faced and healthy looking. He just seems to be really put out by what he claims is a global conspiracy.
Do you think he's having a manic episode or something?
It's been lasting for like 6 years now.
Yeah, but sometimes they do, you know.
Look
at Sinatra in the 50s or whatever, you know, like he made 5 million records or whatever, and I think he was up all night every night just like, you know?
Well, that's the biggest crime of all, then, is if
Sinatra
is
was a
is
performer.
If we're missing Randy Quaid. So. I would hate to think that we're missing Randy Quaid's best years then, because...
Well, I don't think we're missing... It's horrible when people pile on, though, and it turns into chasing Frankenstein to the village.
I don't like it when the crime is being weird.
I
think it's great when
that.
People gang up. I think the great thing about the internet is that we can gang up on bullies. I think that's fucking great.
The best part.
The weird thing is that
we
seem to keep ganging up on nerds. Like, we just
Brian Williams and shit. That would be like, really, dude?
But won't Hollywood throw their arms around him like they did Robert Downey? And
I hope so.
Let's make you famous again. Or what's his name? The wrestler,
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's aging really gracefully. He's a wonderful performer. He's got this powerful voice. He's clearly off his rocker, but I don't even want to use that phrase necessarily, because it's like I don't know, like he's an actor. How sane is he supposed to be?
And exactly.
What the fuck happened? I don't know. That's it.
Well, TMZ got him arrested 6 times is what happened to him.
Yeah.
That's enough to make anyone, you know, a little upset.
Yeah, he's freaky. There's no question about that.
Spencer?
But, you know, my argument always is like, Dick Cheney walks the streets free every day and feels fucking empowered to give his opinion anytime he likes. Donald Trump fucking comes on TV and tells us he's going to run for president. Sarah Palin gives speeches and shit like that. And no one impugns their sanity at any point.
I know, it's
and
like,
yet they're all evil, fucking insane, unbelievable, unbalanced maniacs who have destroyed the world in their own fine way.
If you took their money away by signing some form at City Hall that said that their jurisprudence wasn't the Hall of Bursars and the Flim Flim Flam, nothing looks crazier than being poor and having an opinion. Donald Trump, if he was fucking, if he shuffled in here right now and had like a rat tail on his cheek and said the shit that he says on Twitter,
Obama's
you'd be like,
from America. Are you out of your goddamn mind?
I mean, and even just his hair.
Right, you've got a marmoset
just being born rich just gives you like this sanity pass.
Doesn't it just?
So what I'm curious about is how they lost their money. And that's the because all their trouble started
Hillary Clinton took away the passport. And all of his gold.
Well, they're sitting up there in Canada and they're making videos. You can follow Evie Quaid on Twitter. She has like 148 followers, and I saw they have
148.
Yeah, they have these videos. There's like other videos that they're making from the same room.
How did she only have that many if this is that big of a thing?
Right?
That's what I don't understand. I don't know.
Why doesn't she have?
I don't. It's one of those weird. That's why I'm fascinated with their story, because it kind of doesn't fall into every little apple box on my understanding of the world factory.
But then you work in a bungalow where there's a proprietary exponential fucking. What did you call it?
Recycle bins?
Recycling bins.
There's
and yet you know for a fact that those are hypocritical recycling
bins.
Well,
there I know, because there is no actual, there's not a box that says, and just put shit and turds and boogers in here. There and dead raccoons.
Is there a lot of dead raccoons in the bungalow?
There's four. There's got to be one underneath it.
No, that was my last script.
There's nothing like a small mammal joke to really rock a... Well, the foxes must have got to it. No! That's why Act 3 was so unsatisfying. Boof! I think a ferret got to that.
There's just four giant boxes, and there's a guy that comes at midnight, and I sleep at my office enough to know that all he does is show up. Like sometimes he doesn't know I'm there, so I get to listen to what he does from midnight to 4:30 a.m. And it's a real risky business situation out there. Like he's
bum 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 bum. He just put those old records on the shelf.
Except he just keeps emptying the same garbage over and over again. And I keep thinking he's gonna come in my office, and he has a key. If he wants to, he can. But so I just sit there with my blanket, it's like the Babadook or whatever. And then I just hear him out there just emptying stuff. And then if I clear my throat, he'll be gone in 10 minutes, because I think he just comes to my bungalow to fuck around. But he also maybe thinks that someone's watching him, so he pretends to take out the garbage for 4 hours. all right. So anyways, is my better half here?
We should get scooting onto Shadowrun as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Is Aaron McGathy in the house? Aaron McGathy?
Johnny Ramone's funeral will commence in 5 minutes.
Wow.
I may have ruined one of your keyboards.
What in the max headroom is going on? Aaron's in a very good costume. I can we dress up for our things? Maybe I'll come.
Can we? That's like when Max asked if he could rap. Yeah, I can't ask you to dress up, but please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a 20-year-old elf female shaman. Maybe, I'll do it.
Oh, his hands are tied, folks.
I forgot it at home, but I made you an earring. A little clip-on earring, yeah. A single earring.
I love it.
Yeah, I was late because I have to finish a cake that I'm making for a film. That's sad now that
is
I did that.
Is it Cake Boss the movie?
Hamburger 4. This time it's a bakery.
I realized that my actual cake wasn't cool.
So I
made this outfit.
Oh, you don't like your cake? You think your cake's bad?
No, no, the cake is fine. It just has to cool for me to properly
decorate.
Oh,
I thought you said it wasn't cool.
Oh, no. And then I just lost my mind, and I'm like, where's the glue gun? I'm dressing up!
This isn't enough! I blew it on the cake.
Do we have Demorge here as well?
Yes, let's bring up Demorge. Demorge Brown!
Hey, Demorge.
Bill, as I know you. Love you so, I always will.
I'm just the Bill.
The way people say "aw" when I kiss my wife, which is a totally normal thing for every human, makes me feel very inhuman.
Doesn't it? I talk about my wife a lot on my show, and people go, I can't believe how proud you are of your wife. And it's like, what are you with your wife? Do you keep her in a room like fucking Jane Eyre or something?
I took an Uber over here, and the Uber driver, and I watched the feed on the way over, so it was so strange coming into the
room. Oh, good plug, sweetie.
Yeah, well, it was great. I was whisked away, anyway, I was watching the feed, and an Uber driver turned back behind. He said, you're from that house. There's another man. I take him to Burbank, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, you had our talk?
Not Stubnorts?
or did you have one of the 37 Armands?
Yeah. This is Armand. And he said he's an assistant to a cook. And I just stopped the feed. I was like, what? He's not an assistant to a cook. He said, I take him to Burbank, and there's a big picture there. A big like cooking picture. And he's an assistant to a cook. And I said, no, he's a writer. And he said, for a cook?
Are you a writer for a cook? What do you write? Like, take the spatula, flip the pancake, whatnot?
I'm a polygamist, and this is how we find out.
I wasn't watching the feed tonight. I was watching, I don't know if you saw, but Jonathan E. from the Houston team is playing a worldwide rollerball match tonight. So I was watching that on the way over.
Yes, that's a rollerball reference, everybody. Wow.
The logo for my
that
animation.
Was for me.
Jonathan!
The logo for Starburns is a cook, is a chef. That's what he's talking about. It's kind of amazing that I don't know. I'm like, oh, that's adorable.
He thinks you teach a cooking school. At a cooking school.
It's like when Harvey barks at Danny DeVito. I'm like, wow, he thinks it's a dog.
Oh, dossiers.
My dog thinks that Danny DeVito, we don't know, we can never know why our dog barks at Danny DeVito. If you put on a latter season of Always Sunny, the dog goes nuts, like there's a cat on the screen or something. If you, that's for you.
I've already perused it in my mind.
The dog will also, in the iTunes screen, if the Rainmaker with Danny DeVito and Matt Damon, both of whom are on the poster, is in the upper left corner of the screen because it's in your most recently viewed section, Harvey will look up at the upper left corner of the screen and go, because it's smaller Danny DeVito and more well-groomed. But then you put in season 6 of Always Sunny and he goes, and only does that for dogs, cats, and Danny DeVito.
Possibly because they're all the same weight.
But if you put in like Junior or something like that, like it has to be like a disheveled Danny DeVito. Like he has to get furry. I mean,
so War of the Roses is out, or
what? Yeah, I don't know. We haven't put in War of the Roses.
Have you tried like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest when he's quite young?
Haven't tried it. I mean, haven't gone through the whole
Martini.
I'm just amazed. The fucking dog, like, he barks at the drawings of cats. And I said to Aaron, like, try drawing a picture of a dog on a piece of paper with a Sharpie. Let's see if this fucking dog is like goddamn Caesar in Planet of the Dogs. And so Aaron goes like, oh yeah, good idea. And she draws this thing. Aaron's an artist, I guess. She does it like the dog. She draws a cartoon dog. The dog's head is the size of the dog's body. Like, she's drawing like a pictogram of a dog, like that. I'm like, no, draw.
I'm so sorry.
Draw like a regular picture
Maybe
of a dog.
Maybe you should have baked a dog.
I wonder what it's like being married to Greg Proops. She drew the most amazing drawing of a dog, is what Greg would say.
My wife's a very good artist. She did the pictures for my book.
So then I go, Good plug, sweetie.
She did, actually.
So I go, draw a regular picture. Like, draw just like a silhouette of a dog. Just draw like a kind of a realistic shape of a dog. And she goes, okay, I think I got you, yeah. Okay. And she draws for a while, and then she turns it around, and it's a picture of me with a dick in my mouth.
Max, you can buy that drawing if you want later on after the show.
Is it a picture or a photograph, really?
It was inspired by very real things in her head.
All right, Spencer, let's get this rolling here.
Torn from the pages of reality.
Now, Greg, are you hip, Greg, to what's going on in our Shadowrun campaign?
I'm so hip to the jive. Dan and I had an extensive conversation where, let's move on.
All right. Spencer, do you want to, what do you need from us? Do you want to get rolling here? Do we need any preamble?
Do you have a groovy theme song and shit?
I don't know.
I do have music for us.
Well, there you go. I didn't write anything down for the intro part, so I don't know.
Maybe just...
I can do it.
All right, well, put up the music and Dan will do it then.
Last time on Shadowrun...
This is a damn Jamba Juice. Get your ass out here. We don't got no hamburger. Go down to Pink's.
Jim Nightblade and his Shadowrun crew were assigned to find a BTL chip designer named Baldwin Brown in a compound surrounded by BTL, aka Better Than Life chips, that they were also supposed to get a hold of, infiltrating the compound with his fingertip nano whip. Jim Nightblade made quick work of the perimeter, scaling the roof of the nearest warehouse, again nano whipping a nearby vent. The other characters did fine. Sliding down silently like a deadly spider, Jim Nightblade came down in the middle of the warehouse with his grappling gun and his faithful, sexually tense compatriot,
Eve Libertine.
Eve Libertine, helping her down onto the floor. Nightblade then asked her to send a stun bolt to the two guys playing poker, and then it didn't work all the way, and they shot some people. Hordegard, the German guy, is keeping watch from beyond using his psychic powers. Eve Libertine, meanwhile, is out front.
No, that's Mercy.
Mercy. God damn it.
Mercy O'Donnell.
Mercy, that's my wife's character, is out at the south gate, occupying three armed guards with various Dirk Benedict circa 18 shenanigans. When we left them, Nightblade and Eve were closing the distance between themselves and the backs of the meaty heads of the three security guards that we were about to shoot them.
Okay. Yep.
You know what's amazing is that you did that 46 seconds, which is almost exactly what the old length of Spencer's intro was. Yeah. You felt that.
I thought you were going to look at that and then go, 46 minutes.
The show was over 5 minutes.
You're usually
ago.
The master of brevity, but you really wrapped that fucker up.
Yeah, so
perhaps it
just...
was because he was missing some certain information about Hordegard and what he did.
Maybe we should hear the intro from Hordegard's perspective. This is like our Rashomon.
Perhaps not the whole intro, but for example, I am not German. I'm Norwegian. Also,
same difference during the war, bro.
Nice.
Wow.
Too soon.
War burn.
What a chop.
Well, all right.
So, just some housekeeping up top. It's actually a mono whip, not a nano whip. It's actually quite a bit thicker than a nano whip.
Oh,
We're talking about dicks, right? Okay, so
it's just like so Mercy's just face after. It's actually quite a bit thicker than a nanobot. I just looked at Greg, and Greg went. I think it was either did I leave the oven on or
yeah.
All right, so the three guards are being occupied by Mercy right now, right, Spencer?
Yeah.
And Hordegard, you got a line of fire on one of on those guards
from
too,
the front
right?
side. That is
from,
correct.
From the front, outside the gate of the warehouse compound. And Jim Nightblade and I, Eve, were sneaking up from behind right now, correct?
Well, you were on the roof of the building.
Okay, well, I descend down to get with Jim Nightblade.
All right, that happens.
Hey, Nightblade, I got your back.
Sorry, I'm getting Aaron a drink.
What's the range between Jim, Nightblade, and I with the guards?
Well, he's still on the roof. You're about 120 feet off.
Oh, he's not down there yet?
I didn't hear him go down there.
Nightblade, get down here.
I'm down there.
What's your agility plus sneaking, Dan?
Fuck.
I'm so sorry.
Probably 4 plus something in parentheses. I think
it was 9 total last time, right?
Well, that was me shooting dudes. I remember that. Yeah. Agility plus sneaking, I had a tougher time with. 5 plus, looking at my sneaking, 4 plus 4.
That's 13 then, yeah?
Damn.
Woo! All right. You sneak down quietly.
And we're how far away from these guards?
120 feet.
All right, Mercy, keep them looking at you. So we're sneaking up behind them. We're going to get a shot on these guys.
All right. Can you see through my head?
No.
That was me in character as Mercy. I don't think they would say it like that. Thank you. All right, let me try that again. I look at them, and I'm acting kind of crazy to distract them. Hey, sometimes I feel like no one can see me at all, and it feels like you guys can really see me. Can you see me or see through me?
No.
I use my fucking diplomacy. Is that just gone? Do I no longer have any charisma?
What?
Do I have charisma?
You're asking them a question. They're answering. I don't get what's happening.
Okay. Sorry, Spencer. The way you said it sounded
well, they
mean.
Just, it's a question you're asking, right?
Well, it's a flirtatious...
Why are you flirting with Spencer?
All right, well, they're still looking at me even though they said no, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They can't see through your head.
All right. I'm going to regroup and approach differently from now on. So they're going to look at me. I'm not going to walk away.
Jim Nightblade, I'm going to cast improved invisibility on myself, where I become invisible to human beings and to sensors and cameras and things like that. Walk up and just, I have shock gloves, but my gloves are electric, and I'm just going to go zap and knock these guys out. But you got to, there's only two guys. There's three of them, right?
Three.
I've got the third one covered.
Okay. Do you like this plan, or do you want to come with?
Yeah, I'm going to go from my left, so the third one will be all the way on my right.
Or I could just cast a stun ball on all these guys and just knock them all out.
The more stunned they are, but when I get it within shooting range, the more alive they'll be tomorrow for their families.
this is Aaron asking when we ended last time, I had said to that group that they should stay, and I was going to walk away, and we ended on a cliffhanger. Am I still?
Yeah, I felt like we were about
there?
To pull the triggers and shoot these
let's
guys.
Let's just shoot
the
these fuckers.
List.
Let's just take
okay,
them out.
I have walked away, but they're standing.
I totally vote for shooting if that's what we're doing.
All right, I've got my stick and shock bullets in my gun, and I put it on. Like 3-shot pulse mode.
So how far away are you?
I start closing. We start closing the gap. Maybe you want to sneak up a bit.
Yeah, I'm walking toward these guys until I can shoot them in the head.
Okay, we're walking toward them. And so, what's a good range to shoot that from?
On your pistols,
yeah.
Probably about 20 meters.
Okay, we close that. We close that distance.
You do that quietly. All is well.
Okay, guys, let's
I'm
just.
I'm there with the rifle. I have it aimed. 200 armor-piercing rounds. I'm using four of those.
Okay,
and I'm waiting for the third one.
Hordegard, pick a guy. What's your guy?
The one
look
who's
like?
Still standing. That's the one I'm going to shoot.
You're
the two
get
of you
him.
Will shoot first. One will still be standing. That's the one I'm going to take out.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so...
And I'm 100 yards away from the guys at this point.
I can shout
okay.
you. I will not shoot.
Jim, which one do you want?
I'm starting from the left.
Okay, I'll get the right. Okay, ready?
And Proops is with Hordegard.
Suddenly, I chuck three tear grass grenades.
Who is this guy?
They call me Hippocrates.
You toss three tear gas grenades.
That's right.
Once.
I heal people because I took an oath. I heal people for the highest bidder.
They bounce along the floor, and one of them bounces into the gatehouse of the guarding the gate, and they all trigger going off, unleashing acrid smoke into the air. The guards start coughing and wheezing and freaking out, and then you hear a siren like a fire alarm going.
Jesus
going off.
Christ.
Shit.
Do we know this guy? Who's yeah. throwing grenades?
He's in your team. He was there all along.
Oh, okay. All right.
Is there somebody that I can see?
Yeah, you guys are together.
I'm a troll. But I swore to heal people.
I have a gas mask. I put it on.
All right.
Good call.
Are these guys immobilized, or what are they doing?
They're coughing. It's very... You guys have opportunity to go right when you're seeing these things happen.
Okay, let's take the shot. Take the shot.
Go.
And I shoot as many people as I can.
pop, pop, pop. I pick off my guy.
All right. What are your pistols, Jeff? I know Dan's pistols.
There's six.
Six altogether?
Four plus two is six. Oh, plus what?
Plus your agility.
Plus ten.
10.
Mine's a total of 9, I remember.
All right. You hit them directly in the chest. It pierces straight through their armor for Dan and knocks the guy on his floor. He's bleeding out. The other guy gets hit with three of your stick and shock rounds, and you see some electrical activity as he goes down to the floor, convulsing. There's one left.
Hordegard, take the shot.
I take the shot with my rifle.
All right. What's your agility plus automatics?
It is 8.
All right. All right. You also hit him. His head explodes.
Jeez.
Nice shot.
As a precog, I knew this would happen. This is why I took those actions.
You sure you're not German?
The alarm's still going off.
Hey, face, Eve. Mercy. You got a keyboard taped to your stomach. Can you do something about that alarm?
I can try. I'm still wearing my business wear.
Yep.
I run inside. I try to locate the alarm box.
All right, you head inside the gatehouse, and it's a pretty simple construction. You think you see a switch that's activated that looks to be the alarm.
That's probably it. Hello, my darling. I walk up to the alarm, and I using my attribute of composure. Mm-hmm. I'm calm, and I try to make sense of the alarm. I try to flip off the alarm.
Using your composure, you flip off the alarm. The silence reigns, and also tear gas.
Sorry about the mess, but it's quiet. Too quiet.
We still have that one guard inside that I only stunned. You, Nightblade, you blew a dude's head off in there. The one guy's still down. Spencer, do we know how long that stun lasts?
You know, an hour or two, a few hours.
Okay, so he's good.
Probably.
We still got a room back in there. That's probably where the target is, and we gotta check all these crates for those chips.
You hear the sound of sliding metal as the loading bay door closes shut behind you. Probably. Depending on your orientation.
And the loading dock door is the only door into the warehouse?
Well, you guys came in through the ceiling,
right.
So...
But is there another door that we found or no?
Not one that I'm aware of.
All right. So, okay, I'm sure...
That's the only door.
I'll go down the chimney. And then I run up and I grapple up to the warehouse roof.
All right. You do that.
I astrally perceive. I go into a shamanic trance and I astrally project myself. And I project myself inside the warehouse to go into the room where those machines were and see, or just to check out the whole space.
All right. You see about six bodies inside surrounded by machines and security devices.
Six bodies in the main room?
In the room that you haven't entered yet.
Okay. Guys, do I detect any magic, any spirits in there, or just regular human beings?
Just humans.
All right. Guys, we got six bodies inside that room.
That's a little outside my jurisdiction.
Six bodies. Are they dead?
No, they're living.
Can I use my ability to detect enemies?
Or am I
out of range?
No, you detect enemies. You detect enemies. There's five plus. In the building.
So that means that everyone in that room, neither one of them is the person we're seeking.
I mean, it's not really been established whether the person you're seeking is an ally or an enemy.
So nobody's in the outside of the warehouse. They're all inside that room.
Correct.
All right, guys. I'm going to go in there. Let's all go in together. Let's have each other's back here. I'm going to go in there.
Before we do this, could I perhaps take this opportunity to take my rifle to the stunned one and maybe shoot him?
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Well, you'd have to get in the building first, so how do you want to do that?
Let's see. I have a grappling gun.
Why don't we just monofilament that door open, man?
Yeah, we'll be long gone by the time that guy wakes up.
Spencer, how does my stealth tag work?
That's like an RFID tag. It's like a tracking bug, basically. So you could stick it on stuff.
All right. Another time.
Is there time to light a cigarette while all this bullshit's going on?
Nightblade, monofilament that door open. Let's go in there. What I'll do is I can summon a spirit that goes in there and just knocks him out with noxious gas or something like that.
Winky doodle do. It's not a permanent. I'm workshopping catchphrases.
Spencer, am I in a space with one of those guards?
You're in the gatehouse. There's a dead guard in it. Yeah.
Okay, I take the dead guard's clothes and I put on his clothes and I'm going to use my skill of disguise to kind of emulate his body language.
All right. What's your intuition plus disguise?
My intuition is 4 and my disguise is 3.
All right.
Seven.
All right, you donned a disguise.
All right, and I start walking towards the room.
All right. Meanwhile, Jim Nightblade attempts to monofilament whip the door open. But your robot finger careens off the surface of the door, directing your monofilament whip directly right at you.
No!
It slashes you. What's your armor?
Jesus Christ.
Top right corner.
Top right.
Is it AP or what's
it? It'll say armors.
My old eyes. It's armors. I'm looking for the word armors, and it's
core combat info up top right.
It's just the number to the topest rightest.
Oh well, it's rating. It says 9. Sorry.
Yeah, 9.
Okay, got it.
All right. Okay, so you cut yourself open right in the torso. You're bleeding pretty heavily.
Thank goodness I'm here.
It sliced through your armor like butter.
Let me fix that right up.
The door stands unopened.
Let me try that again.
Are you sure?
Now you're all cut open.
Do I feel?
Let me put some first aid on you.
Is that just a critical failure, or do I feel like that's what happens when I try to use my mono whip?
You feel like that's what happens when you critical failure with your mono whip.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm gonna try again. Sorry.
Don't be so tough, goddammit. Let me stitch you up and try it again.
You're in a different. You're not in the building with me. Hey, I'm here alone, bleeding to death. I'm trying to. I'd love to get healed.
Hippocrates, did anyone tell you that you sound a little bit like the coach from Major League?
God damn it! I'm about as proud of you boys as I've ever been. Coach, I'm tired of fucking. Give him the heater, Ricky.
Are you giving him first aid? He's bleeding.
I'm in the warehouse. You guys are. I'm trying to give.
Well,
you
you're
guys.
Outside.
You're
the
outside
warehouse.
The warehouse. I'm with you outside the warehouse. You're trying to get into the warehouse.
Yeah.
I wanted to grapple up to the ceiling, come down through the grate that I came through earlier.
Okay. And then what door were you cutting?
I thought that I had done that, so I thought I was cutting the loading dock door so that they could come in.
Okay. Well, then you're inside and you failed to cut the loading door. So yeah. Okay, that's true.
Try it again and let us in.
Here we go again. Hickory dickory dock.
All right. This time, despite your heavy wounds, you managed to cut a man-sized hole in the loading dock door.
I jump through.
All right.
Hippocrates, heal Nightblade. He's bleeding bad.
You bet I will. Let me take out my first aid kit here. I've also got... I can heal. It's best used after the first aid is applied.
Is that the title of your book?
It's a small pamphlet I've written. Also, you receive something from the Franklin Mint. It's a tiny gold coin. Just to let you know that I've been here. I've stitched up 1,000 fucking punks on the street. I can stitch you up too.
Jesus, thank you so much.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm gonna have to take one of your kidneys. I'm a troll. I eat them after hours.
I only got two.
I get one, bro. Fist bump. No, you can't. You're too weak. Here, have some analgesic.
You apply your first aid kit, and it seems to be taking quite effect. The bleeding stops completely, and you're all...
The name's Hippocrates.
I go up to the door. Oh, we're inside now, right?
Yeah.
I go up to the door, and I summon a spirit of air. I summon a... I fart.
Jeff, have you ever heard?
I fart.
I summon a dog to blame it on.
I summon a storm cloud, the mist cloud, to go in under the.
This is getting worse and worse.
Under the door, to breathe noxious breath on them. So a level 4 spirit.
All right. What's your sorcery plus or no conjuring plus magic?
Conjuring. You mean summoning?
That.
Where are you summoning?
What did you have for breakfast?
11 is total.
All right. And you said a 4?
Oh, also, I get +2 because it's a spirit of air. So it's 13.
Okay. Awesome. You take serious drain. You take about 3 boxes of drain as you summon forth this powerful, misty creature. It's there.
Spirit, go under the door and knock out the... and breathe noxious breath and knock them down.
Okay.
All right.
The one who cast it, blasted.
Who swung the goat?
So the mist spirit goes under the door, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Under the door and starts misting all over the place.
A little over here. A little over here.
Is that accurate? Is that what it sounds like?
I mean, I guess, sure.
I asked, can I communicate with my spirits?
Like, yeah, like, you got a mind link to it.
How's it going in there, spirit?
Oh, it's fine. It's been a rough day, but it's nice to be needed.
Did you breathe the noxious breath on those six guys in there?
Oh, yes, I did.
How did it come out?
As the way it always comes out. I just wish that for once the thing I was best at didn't hurt people.
Oh, Air Spirit, I just want you to knock him out. I don't want you to hurt anybody. I just want them to be unconscious.
I knocked him out.
Just ask Spencer what happened.
Spencer, what happened?
They're all knocked out.
The wife is making soup later, and she always makes too much.
Thank you, Spirit. Oh, missed Spirit. Thank you, Miss Spirit. You did good.
What a show stealer that farting ghost was. You gotta cast that thing. Boy, I don't wanna.
Yeah. I don't want to get too enthusiastic, but whoever dealt that thing really knew what it was doing.
So let's kick the door down and go get these guys, and then we have to end the show.
I mean, we started at 8:15, I'm just saying.
Harks and alarums.
Oh, no.
Am I in the wrong phase? Panting unicorn with the wandering minstrel show. My golden hooves have heard that there is trouble in this land. Some 500 years hence. 'Tis I, Tylenol with codeine. Nightblade, you are surrounded by a noxious gas. Don't say anything. Let me sit upon your face.
Cody, kick that door down so we can get in.
It will be done by the flaming balls of Kelly Ripa. Crash, crash, and I must away. For another adventure I will go on. I am not gay, and yet I make no case for it. Clop, 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 clop.
Who the fuck was that? What kind of fruit basket you conferring with, huh, Nightblade?
Yeah, it's weird. How specific he got about his sexual preference at the end. We didn't even bring it up.
At least he wasn't a black guy you brought up to rap.
That guy was good.
One of them was.
Is the door open?
Oh, yeah, it's been kicked in by a unicorn.
Spirit, will you inhale that noxious gas so we can go in there and enter safely?
Oh, the spirit's gone. He did his business. Now he's done.
I'll say. All right. Is it safe for us to walk in there?
It might be a bit too...
Well, I still have my gas mask on. I walk in there and examine what's going on.
Just bag him and tag him. Look for the bald guy.
You see four young teenage druggies. They're kind of just sprawled out on the floor. They got microchips stuffed into their head skulls.
Get those chips. Gather them up.
Good call.
As you gather up the chips, the people come too, and they're like, hey, man, give that back.
Am I there?
Yeah, you guys are all at the door. He's the only one inside the room, but yeah.
Okay, with my power of convincing, I look at the guys. Hey, bros, go back to sleep, man. Just ride that high. All right, we're gonna take away the bad ones. There's some bad stuff that came down the chute here, and I'm just trying to help you out.
And also, I'll stun baton them, like, in case they don't.
I think they're okay. I think they're just druggies that were high on BTL chips, and they're just coming out of their stupor right now, right?
Yeah, but we need to control the environment.
I look around. I only see four druggies in the ground. I look for the other two people that I saw. I saw six bodies in there. Who are the other two?
What's your perception plus intuition?
It is 8.
8. All right. Using your keen eyesight, you see an empty table, and behind the empty table, a thin, almost imperceptible seam in the wall, a secret door.
Oh.
A threshold worthy of... Probably, am I right?
Yep.
Cliffhanger!
Let's thank Greg Proops for coming down again.
Greg Proops!
Jamorge Brown! Better half, Aaron Harmon McGathy, Cornelius Anastasia Harmon McGathy, Spencer Crittenden, Jeff Anastasia Davis.
Let's also thank Max and Brian for coming up and rapping with us. Spend that money wisely. I'm Jeff Davis. Let's hear it one more time for Dan Harmon, everybody. Thank you. And also, anybody out there that wants to donate or lend music for us to play on the show, I'm happy to listen to it, and maybe you'll be on the Harmontown podcast with
your
tunes.
I'll be rapping to your fat beats. We go to, what is it, harmontown.tumblr.com?
Harmontownmusic.tumblr.com? Something like that. What is it?
It's harmontownmusic.tumblr.com.
All right, everybody, drive fast and take chances. We love you.